Chad, do you have a recording device working?
Yep. We're recording. I was just going to say that we started recording just now.
Okay. So, this is Jim Scott. I have with me Mike Scharf. This is the conference call, the Willop Advisory Group for September 23rd. And if I could have folks identify themselves, that would be helpful. Let's see, so I'll tick these off. I think I had Andy Mitby there.
Marlissa Dugan.
Marlissa Dugan. Hi, Marlissa.
Hi.
Next.
Alan.
Alan. Hi, Alan.
Howdy.
Dean Antich.
Hi, Dean.
Bob Barkhurst.
I heard Ross Barkhurst there.
And Bob Mohauser.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Bob Lake.
Bob Lake.
Norm Reinhart.
Norm.
Lance Gray.
Lance Gray.
Steve Gackey.
Steve Gackey. Miss anybody?
Tim Hamilton.
Tim Hamilton. And then at Montesano, who do we have from the department?
Chad and Barb are both here.
Okay. So what I'd like to do, as on our last call, is have Chad bring us up to date on our catch information and our impact information. We mailed out emailed out a briefing sheet maybe 20, 25 minutes ago that if you can get access to that, I think it would be helpful, not essential. And then I'd like to get some input from the advisory group on our schedule for the commercial fishery. And then move to establishing the fishing schedule for next for the remainder of this week and next week. Okay, so with that, Chad, could you bring us up to date?
Yeah, okay, first I'll go through some Chinook totals. I'm not going to go through them by area. I'll just go total for the bay right at this point in time.
Area, Chad.
You want them by area?
Yeah.
Okay. Just a second.
It should have been on this damn deal you sent us.
Okay, let's start with... Hold on a second. It takes a second for the query to run. Okay, so week 39, okay, so I'll start with area 2M.
M or M?
M as in Mike. Okay, let's see, 9:20. So on Sunday in Area 2M, we landed 159 Chinook. On Monday, they landed 23. And I had no landings in M on Tuesday. In 2N, they landed 36 Chinook.
Sunday?
Yes, Sunday they landed 36, Monday they landed 35, and Tuesday they landed 28 That's in Area 2N, as in Nancy. In Area 2U, on Sunday, we had 96 Chinook landed. On Monday, we had 32. And on Tuesday, we had 35. In Area 2R, as in Robert, on Sunday, we had 29 fish landed. On Monday, we had 2 fish landed. And on Tuesday, we had no landings reported in Area 2R. In Area 2T, as in Tom, on Sunday, we had 179 Chinook landed. On Monday, we had 132. And on Tuesday, we had 60. Would you guys like me to read through the coho, too, or?
No. I'd like to hear the coho, Chad.
Okay.
I would like to hear the coho.
Okay, totals for Baywide totals on Sunday, we landed 185 coho. On Monday, 126 coho. And on Tuesday, 56 coho. And those numbers are Baywide.
Don't they? Right.
So, where that puts us, our onboard observation for this week, we have 64 unmarked Chinook observed to 153 marked Chinook that were landed. That gives us a weekly encounter ratio of 0.4183. Out of those 64 unmarked Chinook, we had 11 that were positive for a coated wire tag, which leaves us with a encounter ratio for unmarked with CWT of 0.1719. Putting all this data together into the summary gives us 154 impacts so far this week, and that brings us to a total for the fishery so far this season of 490. Our end of the week number was 528, so we have 38 impacts remaining. Keep in mind that all this data is only through Tuesday's fishery, so some of those 38 impacts were being used up today. I would guess that it's somewhere between 15 and 20. So, in actuality, after today, we have about 20 left. Any questions?
Is there any way to identify which area had the impacts?
Yes. Out of those 154 impacts, 74 of them came from 2T. 36 came from 2M, 20 came from 2N, 18 came from 2U, and remember 2U has a lower mortality rate since we've just been using the tangle net. That's only 31% as opposed to the 56 for all other areas. And Area 2R had 6. So, I mean, 110 of the 54 are coming from M and T.
Can you give me 2M and 2T again?
2T was 74 impacts so far this week, and 2N is 20.
No, M.
Oh, M was 36.
Okay.
On the 2U, you had a special quota for the tangle net fishery. Has that been used up?
It's hard to say because that's an end of the season. That'll be an end of the season rate. It looks like we're tracking along pretty good, but I won't know that total value till we have total impacts for the year.
Okay.
Hello. Somebody may be speaking, but I can't hear your question.
Hi, this is Norm.
Oh, hi, Norm.
My question is, are there any outstanding tickets from Tuesday or from Monday?
It doesn't appear to be.
Thank you.
Chad, I don't know if you've got this quantitatively, but kind of objectively, if you've watched the Observer data come in, are you seeing any trends in mark rate across the days?
It seems to be getting higher. Or lower, sorry. The mark rate is getting lower. Our proportion of unmarked fish is getting higher every day. On Monday, our encounter ratio was 0.2527. By Monday, it was 0.4091. And after Tuesday's data, it's 1.2778. So basically doubling every day.
Hey, can you give me those numbers again, Chad?
Our encounter ratio on Sunday was 0.2527. On Monday, it was 0.4091. And on Tuesday, it was 1.2778.
Wow.
Yeah. So Tuesday's data was 23 unmarked fish to only 18 marked, and none of those were wired.
What was that ratio again? 1.27 what?
1.2778. So basically, out of all the unmarked encounters, yeah, there's they're all
23 unmarked and 18 marked.
Yeah.
Alan sent me an email earlier this week suggesting that he was hearing that there were a lot of Chinook outside the bay that the recreational folks were catching. Are we still taking genetic samples of a catch?
Yes, we are. Every unmarked fish is being genetic sampled, correct, Barb?
Yeah, well, as many as we can get on board.
Yep.
And how many samples for the season do we have so far?
About 94, I think.
Barb says it's about 94.
94?
Is the season total, yes.
So I think it'll be important to get those into our genetics lab and analyze them.
Well, 24 were already brought in on the 10th.
Okay.
The rest I can bring in once I go down to Il Loco to get what's down there from the techs down there, and I can bring those in tomorrow or Friday.
Okay.
Is the department making any effort to obtain genetic samples of the Chinook in North River while these fish are coming up?
How the hell are you going to get them?
Mike, could you answer that for us?
We are going to use some volunteers to go in and hook and line some folks that live there and have very long local knowledge. But yes, we are going to make an attempt, every attempt we can, to get a hold of any kind of Chinook in the North River.
Are you looking for
volunteers? You mean to say you're gonna turn around and go try to catch Chinook in North River, the ones you're trying to protect for whatever reason? And the stress on them, if you read all the studies, the damn females don't spawn after they're stressed out. What the hell sense does that make?
It's one way or the other, Bob. You pounded us for not having the data. We're going to get the data, and we're going to use every effort we can to minimize stress on these fish and obtain the data that has been asked for.
Well, you're about 2.5 months later starting to get data in the Willapa.
So we're going to continue to collect data. I think all of us understand that that would be valuable. So let me drive it back to the issue at hand. Any other questions for Chad or Barb or Mike on the catcher impact information that we've got in front of us.
Well, if I understand all these numbers right, this is Ross, it looks to me like you've got 38 impacts left and you're likely to use over half of them in one more day. And today is one more day because we don't have today's numbers yet, and so tomorrow you could exceed it. That's what it looks like to me, if you net it one more day. You can correct me where I'm wrong.
I think Chad mentioned maybe rather let me try and repeat what I heard you say. What was your thought on where we'd be after we have the Wednesday data?
We're at 490 right now through Tuesday. The way things are looking, I would guess that we would add somewhere between 10 and 15 onto that for today, which would put us somewhere between 500 and 505, leaving us about 20 left. That's just a guesstimate, but I think we're pretty close. I think Ross's assertion that we could hit the cap on Thursday is a correct one, if not sooner.
Okay, so thoughts on. Let me check in one more time. Then, any other questions about the data we've got?
When you have an unmarked Chinook with the coated wire tag in it, how come you don't take that and see where it's from? Because it's the hatchery fish.
We are.
Mike, you want to answer that one for us?
Yeah, I can address that. The rule states that an unmarked Chinook cannot be harvested, so sacrificing that fish, even though we know it's a hatchery fish, is something we aren't not allowed to do. That fish is encountered on the spawning ground. That tag will be recovered and taken to the lab for identification.
Right, but if you've got some other outside fish coming in that's got a tag in it, then we need that data too, or we should have it.
And again, yes, that would be good data. According to the WAC, we cannot harvest that fish, therefore sacrificing it is something we cannot do.
Even if it was taken and given to the food bank?
I think, Alan, the other question I'd have is the genetic samples we're taking should be give us a better understanding of where the fish are coming from. The coated wire tags are few and far between, but we can get a genetic ID on every fish.
Those was all sampled when they had them on board, wasn't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you got your genetic sample right there then. They just need to get run.
I agree with that. And that was the conversation Barb and I just had. Sounds like we got 70 or so samples that we need to get to Olympia and get analyzed.
How precise is that? Is that a are you able to tell by stream where they came from, or is that just Willapop in general idea of?
We don't currently have the ability to differentiate rivers within Willapop. So we can identify as a Willapop fish. We don't have the ability to identify Nacelle, Nema, Forks, or Willapa, or North.
Okay. But you can tell if it's an out-of-basin fish.
Yeah. Okay, any other data questions? So then want to move to Pfizer's thoughts on our next steps. Like Ross started that discussion, so others, your thoughts on where we're at and our next steps.
I have a question. If starting next Sunday, if it was closed between now and Sunday, how many impacts would there be on paper that week?
Approximately, that would, if we have 44 predicted for next week, if we closed after today and banked what we'd have left, I would guesstimate we'd end up with about 70. 75, somewhere in that range. So we'd bank the 20 or so that we may have left for next week, and yeah, that'd bring it to somewhere in the neighborhood of 70.
There's supposed to be a big storm coming tomorrow, so
yeah,
that might change things drastically.
Yep.
I got a question. Do we have fish in the hatcheries at this time? In all three hatcheries?
I have reports from Nacelle and from Forks, the latest fish books, totals, what they've been going through. I've got nothing for Nima yet. As far as I know, they still haven't watered up their pond.
They still don't have enough water to water them up, do they?
I believe that's what's stopping them, yes, is they don't have enough water yet.
Have they taken any eggs at Willapaw or Nacelle?
No, I don't believe they've spawned any fish yet.
And also, have they done an observation of between marked and unmarked?
I do have some numbers, some rack totals of marked and unmarked.
Okay.
In the Nacelle hatchery, they've gone through a total of 2,430 Chinook.
2,430, okay.
Yep. 179 of those are wild, leaving 2,251 as hatchery fish. For the Forks Creek, they've gone through a total of 1,425 Chinook. Only 25 of those are wild, and 1,400 are hatchery, hatchery origin.
Unmarked.
Yep. Yep.
See, it sounds to me like, from what I've seen on these numbers here, what's going to be flooding the rivers next is going to be unmarked fish, right?
When you see, there's usually a difference in run timing between natural origin and hatchery origin. Chinook, with the hatchery origin entering the river systems first, as you all know. So I would say, yeah, it appears to me from the data that most of the hatchery fish have moved out of the bay, and it's leaving us with a lot of unmarked or natural origin fish in the bay. And what I see with these coho landings is we're still fishing on the same pool of coho. There hasn't been a new group to move in. Those numbers just keep dwindling every day. So. Yes, on Sunday we had 32 boats participating in the fishery. On Monday we had 28, and on Tuesday we had 15.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it seems to me that you're getting close to your impacts. We're not seeing any coho yet. Hopefully they do come. Maybe the storm will bring some in. But it seems to me from the count, it's very difficult to try to make a profit with a boat out there today. And I'd have a tendency to say that what we need to do is to bank every one of those impacts we can and see if we can catch some coho and let some of those natural spawners get through before we go back in the water.
I've got a question for Jim Scott. Jim, how are we going to make a $900,000 next vessel value this year in a Willapaw?
Well, not sure we're going to make $900,000.
That's what you guys committed to.
Well, the expectation is less than $900,000. The aspirational objective was $900,000. And with the final policy, we're not going to, on it's unlikely that on average we're going to meet that aspirational objective.
So if you guys want to change it from 600,000 to 900,000, and it does not look to me like we'll even get close to the 600,000. And this is what you guys set our goals at, for ex vessel value. So how are you going to make that up?
Yeah, well, I think the proposal, at least I'm hearing on the table, is to close for the remainder of this week so that we've got Chinook impacts available to go for Coho when those Coho show up. And if I'm, you know, if I'm thinking about trying to maximize my economic return to the fishery, that my first thought is that makes a lot of sense.
I disagree with that, Jim.
Okay, let's hear a different perspective.
Let it run its course. If it storms tomorrow, you're not going to have any participation. Let it run its course. Send your observers out. Do what they observe. They don't observe it. It's not going to matter. We'll still be fishing in it next week. If you want to shut us down because we've reached our impact, that's your call.
Okay.
I say let it run its course.
I agree with Andy. Let it go and shut it down.
That's your choice. Okay.
I would add this one.
Jim, you did not monitor all the fisheries. You're put us under a microscope. You have limited effort right now. Once the fishery run its course, you decide to close it because you think we've met our number, that's your call.
Okay.
Also, I would recommend that being all these unmarked Chinook that are showing up now.
Yeah.
Since this is a problem, I would strongly recommend all Chinook fisheries be closed. If that's the case, if you shut down the commercial side, you shut the recreational side down too, because of the impact they're going to have in the rivers on unmarked fish.
I would agree with that. If you're going to microscope the fishery here,
that's right.
Not these natural stocks. If you want to stay off of it, you're seeing a lot of them right now. It would only make sense. I mean, it clearly makes sense. It's not worth the recreational time to go fishing in the river if you're just going to catch wild fish. So it clearly makes sense. We should shut that down for a while too, to let these wild fish go by.
This is Ross. On a lot of these rivers, they have accumulated all these hatchery fish. They're not gone from the fishery like they are from the bay. They're still in there.
And they won't be out here tomorrow.
So the percentages are different, you know. This has come up.
Beggars don't care, do they,
Ross? Excuse me. This has come up the last few conversations, but I cannot go along with any recommendation that decreases the harvest for wrecks when it only started out at 20-25% of the total harvest. That's not with a lower impact rate. That's not the place to go.
Hell no! That we wouldn't want to do that, Ross. You guys are your snagging going on there. There's guys in the Willapaw that's right there at Trap Creek catching females, stripping the eggs out, and throwing the carcasses back in the river. What's happening in the river on the Nema?
So, folks, listen. I'm not gonna accuse you guys. I'm not enforcement. I'm not gonna accuse you guys of anything, and I don't think it's productive to accuse me of anything.
Want to dry the comments?
I didn't accuse you of nothing.
Okay, enough. So I want to drive the conversation back to the commercial fishery. I've heard Andy and Dave and Bob and maybe some others suggesting just to let the fishery run. If there's alternative perspectives, I want to hear that as well. If not, then I think we're nearly.
This is Dean. I propose we let the fishery run.
Okay.
This is Alan, me too.
I feel that if the commercial sector wants to utilize their impact, whatever they are, and only what they are, early versus later, I think that decision should be theirs. But I do believe that the guidance that we got from the commission clearly has placed us with some numbers and expectations that we are being held to follow for the first time forever, and I'd like to make sure that we do that.
Hey, thanks, Marlisa. Anybody else have a perspective they'd like to provide?
This is Norm. I have a question.
Yes, Norm.
If the Marshal Police continues to prosecute the victor through the rest of this week, and when we go over, because I'm looking at these numbers, it looks like they will probably go over their weekly impact here. Will that be taken away from next week's impacts? In other words, if the Marshal Police shut down their fishery, I'm assuming that the department's still going to monitor the catch. Once you get the feeling on the impacts, the fish is going to close.
Yeah, so as I understand it, Norm, the question is, are they weekly limits on impacts, or is there a season total?
Well, there's obviously a season total of 581.
Yeah.
My question is this, is that if they continue to fish, prosecute their fishery for the rest of this week, and if they pick and they over-harvest by, say, 40 impacts, will that be taken away from their next fishery?
Yes, there is a total allowable level of impacts for the season of 581. And so if all of the impacts were used in week one, for example, there would be no impacts available for the remainder of the fishery.
So what I'm hearing is if they blow that 581 number by the end of this week, that the coho fishery later in the season will be closed commercially. The commercial season will be closed.
If there are Chinook, if there are unmarked Chinook present, that is correct.
So if they use them all up this week, they're done for the year.
Is that including a November fishery?
Yep.
That's the way I'm looking at it, Bob.
The November fishery was a takeoff, not part of the 581.
That's right.
That's not true.
Get that clarified right now. No. That's exactly right. This is only good through the October fishery.
Actually, there are some impacts associated with the November fishery. It's not many, but there are... three in week 45 and one in week 46.
And that's part of that 581 number?
That is part of that 581 number, yes.
So if they hit 581, they're taking the November fishery out of play also.
Okay, so I got Norm's comment and question. Other questions, comments?
Go ahead, Bob.
Well, my question is this. I don't want to lose November fishery by our four impacts. That does not make sense to me. You know, I mean, if this is what we're down to nitty-gritty, and the monitoring never took place on the recreational fishery like it was supposed to, and I'm just saying, if you shut us down on account of that, I would be willing to bet you that litigation will be down the road big time. So we're still waiting for a ruling, you know, and I'm just wondering, I'm very curious as to what's going to happen here, because the November fishery was not supposed to be included in that 581 the way I understood it when it was put together.
Yeah, well, my understanding, Bob, is the direction I have is that it's Chinook impacts out the fall season. And if there's some Chinook impacts during November, so be it. They're counted. And that's why, you know, from my perspective, I want to make sure that we've got enough impacts to carry the commercial fishery through to periods where you've got some valuable fishing coming up.
We had some valuable fishing, and you took it away from us. So now you're looking at your crystal ball, and you're saying maybe. See, we had our valuable fishing. That was removed from us. Okay.
I understand that perspective. I've have my direction. I understand that there are folks who may not agree with it. But right now, the question before me is, what is the commercial schedule for this point forward?
We're going to run it forth and tell us when we're at 577.
Okay, so I got the input from you, Andy, Bob, and Dave. I heard that.
I want to make damn sure we have enough for our November fishery.
Anybody else with input?
This is Ross. I think my final input would be that I could not go along with any recommendation or any. I could not go along with any action that would remove recreational harvest from the tail to feed the dog. That either this year or next year, that we're not looking to take our small percent and feed it anywhere else, and we shouldn't do anything that would cause that to happen in the future.
Okay, thanks, Ross.
This is Tim.
Tim,
returning to the direction from the commission, the prioritization of Chinook was the recreational fishing, and the same exact language comes in the prioritization of B under B with Coho. Prioritize commercial fishing operations. Period. That's what it says. And I understand that the fleet is suggesting they stay in the water, but I believe that it would be very difficult to prioritize commercial fishing on Coho if you burn all your impacts now chasing a few Chinook. And that's, I think the department would be heavily criticized if it followed the recommendation of the commercial fleet.
You didn't hear what we just said. We said to save enough for November fishery, Tim. Bring your ears out.
Your impact, Bob. You're pushing your impacts, because if you keep pushing the windows, try those impacts, and then the department follows the process, you're going to be mad because you can't go after the coho.
So, what coho, Jim? Jim, they were supposed to be here. What are we waiting for?
I think the other point in this whole thing, Tim, is that if you look at the number of fishers that we have that are fishing this year compared to last year when we had coho, this conversation wouldn't be going on, because we'd have caught our quota by Monday and we wouldn't have fished again the rest of the year, because you don't have the – nobody's out there fishing and you're still catching your quota.
Right.
It doesn't matter. If you look at the process and the way this thing is run, there's no possible way to go fishing. Because we would all be there fishing if there was coho, which means you would have caught in the quota by Monday, and there would be no more fishery the rest of the year. So if there was coho, you would be done. So I think we need to look at this thing and realize what it is, and that is that we will not fish again. Whether it's put forward as coho being the prioritized as commercial, you cannot go fish them. So I think this is ridiculous to sit here and beat this back and forth whether we're going fishing or not. You just go fishing and you close the season, and next year you just don't have one.
I can understand that, because we both have similarly the same concerns, I think, going at it from a different side. But my whole point is that if the coho do come and they are late, you could have
you could have a lot of coho come in there all in one spurt, and within a matter of hours, run out of Chinook impacts and lose those coho. And
you couldn't have said it better right there, Jim. And lose your coho.
Exactly. That is going to lose what's going to happen. If the coho show up, we will go fishing. You have 15 people out here fishing, and you're using up the deal. If you have 90 people out there fishing, like we have had, you couldn't fish for an hour and a half, and you would use it up. It doesn't matter how many coho there are. It's just the amount of participants that are out there fishing are going to catch that many more Chinooks. I don't care whether it's tomorrow or Sunday or Thursday. It doesn't matter. If the coho show up at all, we're going to go fishing, and the season will be closed. That's the way this policy is set up. So for you guys to sit there and say, well, we need you to save those salmon, we're talking about 15 salmon, 90 people go fishing. You don't think we're going to catch that quota in a matter of hours? I mean, it's getting ridiculous here. Let's just go fishing, finish it off. The department can answer to why we're not harvesting.
Okay, so I got that perspective. I had Tim's perspective. Any additional people wish to speak?
It's Marlisa. I think it's important that we stick to the guidance that we've been given. If we have utilized, if the commercial sector has utilized too many of their impacts too early in this season, then next year we need to adjust those impacts to be used later to allow them to target their coho fishery.
We're targeting our coho fishery right now.
When does the coho fishery start, Jim?
We're targeting them right now.
There
aren't any. I got two.
Yeah, I don't understand when our fishery is supposed to start. I mean, you guys think we're supposed to start on October 10th on our coho fishery or what? I mean, this was it. Our fishery started September 15th for coho. That was our coho fishery.
We're 3 days into it. We've landed less than 200.
That's what you set forward in your policy. If there was coho, we would have been done on Monday. That's what you don't get. I mean, it doesn't matter what day we fish. When there's coho, we will be done.
Okay, anybody else?
That's why I'm saying I think we need to make sure we got enough fish for our November fishery. Period. This is wrong. But on the same token, if there's a real concern about these unmarked Chinook, maybe you better shut the recreational fishery down. So they'd be doing their part, too. I think they've got plenty of fish this year already. Hey, Marlisa, how many fish you guys caught at your park?
You know, the fishing season has been very odd with the storm that came on August 30th. About 1,000 fish flushed right on by and went up to the hatchery. And although fish have been consistent because there's been no gill netting to speak of to interfere with the recreational opportunity that we have not been flooded with excess fish. There are still fish of good quality to be retained out of the river, but we are not flooded with, you know, unprecedented numbers of fish down there in the water. I put my feet on the ground and I went in at Lee Wolf's. I checked the river there. I went below Pearson's place into another private property. I looked in there. There were hardly anything down in there. So, you know, the river's not piled up with fish because you weren't fishing this year.
Commercial fishery. Let's move on.
Okay, last chance for others' recommendations.
This is Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
My thought is along that Bob Lake. If they want the November fishery, they may want to curtail the rest of this week and bank those impacts into November so that they can prosecute the coho fishery without being shut down.
If we're going to bank,
what are we banking? How about we bank our last five on the last day?
Let's not fish again until November. So let's have fish for November, because if you go fishing, there's a chance you're going to catch them. That's what nobody seems to be getting. If some fish come in here on Thursday and everybody goes fishing on Sunday, we may not have enough fish for November. So let's not fish again until November. That's my suggestion. Let's keep that November fishery and close everything else down.
That makes pretty good sense, Lance, because if you think about what we see in the way of coho right now, we haven't seen any. Period. And after they, I think this is the year they killed over half the fish out of Nacelle anyway. On the coho, isn't it?
And then next year we can just have our fishery in November and be done with September and October. That's where you need to go.
This is Ross. I watch the bay. I watch the channels out here, and the bay is empty. If you got coho, you got seal heads. There's no seals. There's nothing out there. I can say that.
So then we shouldn't have many impacts. So let it run its course. Chat. Tell us when we're at 580. We'll have another phone conference.
Okay. So here's the
550.
Here's my thought process. We've got a cumulative impact of 490 through Tuesday. We've got 154 impacts for 3 days this week. So about 50 per day. If I add in Wednesday, that drives me up to 530. And if we add additional days, then it puts us at a higher number. Now, I recognize that the impacts throughout the week have been declining, but still, my sense is we're going to be close to the cumulative target through week 9 of 528 fish. If I look at coho, and I've heard this from everybody, there's no coho coming into the bay currently. That, we all know coho, that can change overnight.
Where are they going to come from, Jim?
Well, there's still quite a few coho in the ocean. So if I could continue, so the possibility exists that there will be coho coming in later in September and October and November. That suggests to me that it's prudent to keep to our schedule and save those impacts on Chinook for coho fisheries throughout the remainder of the season. That, and again, understand that there's not many fishing people fishing right now, and if there's a storm, nobody's going to fish anyway. I get all that, but that also speaks to me, then there's real no the potential ramifications of closing for the remainder of the week are low. So with that, I'm going to put in place a rule that will close the fishery effective Thursday, and then through the remainder of the week, and we'll reopen on the 26th as consistent with the permanent rule.
27th. That'd be the 27th, Jim.
What day is the 26th?
Saturday. I'm sorry. I got the right date here? 28th, sorry. Okay. Open on the 28th as consistent with the permanent rule.
So he's going to you on Sunday?
Jim, we still have a tangle net fishery on
the
27th.
Okay, so tangle net open on the 27th, 2M, 2N, 2R, and 2T open on the 28th.
Yes.
Why don't you just do it all simultaneous?
I'm open to recommendations on that.
I recommend they don't. They do not do that, because I believe that any commercial fisherman who is going to step up to the plate and try the tangle net should have an opportunity to put their nets in first.
They're fishing. What's first? Okay, that's coming from a recreational advisory. From the commercial advisory, you do them all at the same time, all right? How about that?
As I remember, there were starting next year, there were penalties associated with not meeting incremental goals for moving in the tangle in that direction.
That goes to both sides, Ross.
You shut it off, and the poor guys that have been trying to go with the program.
We didn't shut it off. It's still going to be open the next day.
Okay, I hear the discussion.
I'm going to go forward with returning to the permanent rules. That has 2U opening on the 27th. The remainder of the area is opening on the 28th.
So just close to Saturday.
Yes. And the closure, what days are you eliminating?
The remainder of the scheduled days for this week.
So there'll be no fishing on Thursday?
That is correct.
Tonight at 6 or 6:30 it's over?
Yes.
Okay.
Tim, I have a question. I understand what you're doing, and my concern is we don't have, kind of piggybacks into what Lance is saying, we fire up again on the 28th.
We'll be here.
Yeah, you can how prepared is the department going to be to, if a over expectation harvest of uncooked Chinook. Are you going to be prepared to monitor it very closely by the day once you open up again? And if those impacts hit there, they go?
Yes.
Okay.
We at the department have been having daily and sometimes hourly check-ins on the status of the catch and the impacts. And I think we have a pre-scheduled conference call for Monday. The question I'd have for you is we probably won't have any, we'll have limited new information on Monday. Would it make sense to delay that conference call to Tuesday, say?
I would support that. Hey, Jim, I'd like to ask the commotion, I'll ask everybody this question. This is Norm. Okay, we're going to reopen on Sunday. We're going to have this closed for 3 days. We've got a storm coming in. If we have a late flood of Chinook come in, based on the data that's looking at here, there's a possibility that they could blow 44, that 44 quota in 1 day.
Did you guys not listen to what Lance said?
I heard what Lance said.
Did you not listen to what Alan said the other day? And we said, so if you go to an opener, you're going to see a fleet of boats. If you just keep it open, you're going to have this low impact. I want on record. This was your recommendation, not what the commercial advisor said.
Yep, understand that. So the interest, I think, we'll have on the department side, and everybody will be monitoring that fishery next week. I have a proposal on the table for a conference call on Tuesday. Anybody object to that?
As long as it's still got the fishery in November.
I just have one question for you, Jim.
Yes.
This is Lance. On our last conference call, you made a statement that we're managing this fishery like we do many other fisheries in the state of Washington. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And why is it we manage those fisheries in this fashion?
Well, the objective of fishery management is to ensure that we have fish available for future years in terms of both spawners and catch. Is that your question? Why do we manage fisheries?
Well, I guess what I'm asking you is our question is the microscope that
we're running this fishery under was the question that was asked of you. This is the same way we run our fisheries in many of our other, you know, Washington state fisheries.
Yep.
And I guess I'm understanding of that because I sit on those advisory boards, but the reasoning that I see that we do that is because we have ESA listed fish that we are only allowed to harvest a certain number of. We have a certain quota that we can harvest, and when we reach that harvest, we can't harvest anymore. And that's the curtailment we get with an ESA listed fish. Like, all God forbid that we ever get in the Willapa Bay is an ESA listed fish. None of us could ever imagine having an ESA listed fish in Willapa Bay because it would curtail our fishery so much. And it would curtail everything we do. But yet, we're going to run this fishery like we have an ESA listed fish. So why not have it? That's my question to you. We're going to run this thing like we have ESA listed fish, but we don't have ESA listed fish for our fishery.
Well, here's another thing that's being forgotten, Lance. There is no actual true natural Chinook in the Willapa. They was all brought in from the outside.
Okay, I guess
it's a history book.
So Lance and Bob, kind of two things. First, I gotta bring this call to a conclusion because I have to get out an emergency rule. But just a couple quick responses to your question. I'd be glad to give you a call and talk about it in more detail. One is there's other fisheries with non-listed salmon that we manage just as carefully as this. And you fish on the Columbia River, you probably know about Columbia River summer Chinook. That would be one example.
Yes.
The second question, well, why not go ahead and list Willapa Bay Chinook under the Endangered Species Act? In fact, you may be saying that in jest. My experience with ESA is it would have tremendous effects, negative effects, on the fishery and probably more importantly for Willapa Bay for the hatchery programs.
So, we got the goddamn things down. We don't get to catch them anyway.
I think my point in the thing, Jim, is if you look at our fishery, and you can honestly sit at the table and look across at me and say, we have had a fishery this year, and you think that what we have gone out here and caught is going to sustain a commercial fishery for years to come, and you can tell me that honestly. I think we're just, it's a joke. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't think if there was coho here like there was last year, which is what we ran this whole policy on, was that you were going to go out here and catch 75,000 coho, we would all be fishing right now. You would have 90 boats out there. Your impacts would have been used up. So if you sit there and tell us we're going to save our impacts for the sport, for the coho fishery, it will not work. We've said this over and over. Here it is. It's in front of you. We act like we're waiting for some coho to come in. If they actually came in, we would have this fishery closed down faster than it's getting closed down now. And we've fished a total of, what, 3 days, 4 days? I mean, this doesn't work. So we need to be honest and say we're eliminating the commercial fishery instead of sitting here saying, oh, we're going to manage this infinite number of natural fish, and that's what we have to do.
Okay.
Move on. Do whatever it is you have to do to get us out of the fishery, and let's be done with it.
Yeah, well,
all I have
is certainly not my intent to get you out of the fishery, but I understand the concern. So with that, I'm going to bring the call to a close. Again, don't ever hesitate to give me a call if you want more of a conversation. But right now, I got to get that e-rule out. So thank you, advisors, for your patience with me. Take care.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you.